You'll find children's Christmas books, Reformation 500 gifts, devotional resources, and more in Concordia Publishing House's Christmas catalog. They'll send it to you for free. Call 1-800-325-3040 or view it online at issuesetc.org. Place an order for $79 or more, and CPH will send you three Christmas ornaments for free. Concordia Publishing House's Christmas catalog, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Allahu Akbar. Each day we pray is like we have an established appointment before God. And just like if you have some important appointments, you want to make sure that you're clean. We want to represent our best before our Creator. There's a common expression that says cleanliness is next to godliness. This is a part of what's in the spirit of what came from the Prophet, peace be upon him, and what the Quran also gives us about being clean.
That is Imam Talib Sharif of Masjid Muhammad Mosque explaining the ritual washing taken place by the Muslim faithful during the times of prayer. We're going to be talking about this practice. That's an excerpt from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. We're going to be talking about this practice with Dr. Alvin Schmidt for the next few minutes of Issues, etc. There's ritual washing in Islam, and some would say, well, yeah, there's also a ritual washing in, say, Judaism, and yeah, even Christianity. Can you draw a parallel between this practice of washing and prayer in Islam and Christian baptism? Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
Is there a parallel between this ritual washing of Islam and Christian baptism?
No, none whatsoever. First of all, baptism is performed only once in a Christian's life. The voodoo or ablution that you were talking about is supposed to be performed before each of the five daily prayers that a Muslim engages in. So there's one difference. Secondly, baptism is a sacrament for the forgiveness of sins. This particular voodoo in Islam has nothing to do with repentance or with the forgiveness of sins. It is simply supposed to make you clean and acceptable to God before you pray. And those are a couple of reasons already why you can say there's no parallel or not even a similarity between baptism and the voodoo.
So it's a very complicated washing system where the hands are washed three times, the face, the mouth, the nose, the ears, all parts of the body, ending with the feet being washed three times in order to signify cleansing of body, soul, and mind, or something along those lines. Why is this so important to Islam, to the faithful Muslim?
Well, Muhammad mentioned it in the fifth chapter of the book of Quran. Doesn't give all too many details, but that's what they use as a rationale and an argument for continuing to use it. It is, in a sense, kind of complicated, too. The picture that is conveyed is not in many ways really following it the way it should be followed. It involves about nine different steps. You're supposed to take water with both hands, wash them up to the wrist, and then three times, supposed to do that. And then you're supposed to take your right hand, put it in your mouth, and rinse thoroughly the water that you have injected in the mouth before. Then you're supposed to take water with your right hand, splash it into your nose and blow it out three times, and you're supposed to use your left hand, not the right hand, when you blow it out. So it indicates that the ritual is a little bit complicated. Then you're supposed to also wash your left ear and your right ear and the forehead to the bottom of the chin. Then another step, you're supposed to wash the right arm thoroughly from the wrist to the elbow three times and make sure that no part of the arm has been left unwashed. Repeat this with the left arm. Then you move the palms of the wet hands slightly over the head, starting from the top of the head, sort of from the back of the top of the head, down to the forehead, and to the back of the head. Wash, passing both hands over the back of the head to the neck, and then bringing them back to the forehead. With the same water, you rub the grooves and the holes of your ears with wet index fingers, while also passing the wet thumbs behind the ears from the bottom upward. And finally, you're supposed to wash both feet to the ankles three times again, starting with the right foot. Make sure that the water has reached between the toes and covered the rest of the foot. Then when you're finished, you're supposed to say, "I bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger." That is the exact prayer that you're supposed to utter at the very end of it. It's also interesting to know there are certain activities of the human being that nullify the voodoo. For example, falling asleep or your sleep at night nullifies it. So therefore, in the first thing in the morning, you really need to engage in the voodoo. Other things that nullify it are bodily discharges, urine, stool, breaking gas, and so on down the line. And unconsciousness of any kind, sort of even just if you're in an audience and doze off for a moment or two, that nullifies the voodoo. And then theoretically, you're supposed to then do it. How often it is done, this is a mystery. We don't know. We do know that nominal Muslims, those only in name, don't even do it at all. Those who claim to be Muslims, we have no idea. I've talked to ex-Muslim friends of mine. They don't know how faithful they are in terms of doing it. You're supposed to do this five times a day because you're supposed to say five prayers. Say the first one in the morning just before the sun comes up. Then you're supposed to say the next one at noon or right shortly after noon. And then you're supposed to say another one in mid-afternoon and then at sunset and the last one when you retire. And how many of them really perform this voodoo before each of those five prayers, I have no clue. I'm not sure anybody knows. And so to me, it's a mystery. But nevertheless, if you're going to be faithful, that's really what you need to do as a bona fide Muslim.
In a lot of ways, Dr. Schmidt, and finally here, it is kind of emblematic in some ways, symbolic of the kind of religion that Islam proves to be. We've talked about it many times with you that Islam is far more concerned about outward observance of things, saying simply that you're a Muslim, or fasting, or feasting, or the five daily prayers. They're not so much concerned with the heart. It really is a kind of an outward observance, and it sounds like this ritualistic washing is typical of that. Your thoughts?
Yes, it brings to mind an old Latin saying that we as Lutherans have picked up in our theology, ex opera operatur. By virtue of the act performed, you obtain benefit. You don't have to necessarily believe it. And this is exactly right. This is why you can convert to Islam, not believing what Islam is. As long as you say, "I've accepted Islam," it's acceptable and they will not execute you. So yeah, it's a ritual in and of itself that has, it doesn't require, as we would say, faith commitment to what it stands for. You do it ritualistically, and Allah will accept your performance of it. And so that's basically the bottom line.
And then finally, one of the things that the Imam Talib Sharif had to say there in his explanation of this ritual washing is he likened it to presenting your best before someone you might have an appointment with. So he says, we want to present our best before our Creator. He likened godliness to cleanliness. What are your final thoughts there?
Yeah, and you know, and if you look at the picture that you people sent on the link, it's a rather a perfunctory performance. It's, you know, if you want to say, does it really clean? There is no soap involved that really cleans the body from given activities that you've encountered in the day. It's just simply ritualistic. There really is no cleansing involved. It's also interesting. The individual, as a rule, will come in with sandals or shoes, and then after the washing, puts on those shoes. Well, theoretically, that would soil the cleanliness of the feet that you just washed, but that's sort of ignored or just not entertained in terms of, well, does this not conflict and contradict the whole idea of being clean and washed? No, again, the importance of it is performing the ritual, not necessarily looking at how logically coherent these steps are relative to cleanliness.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. He's author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. You can find a link to that book and others by Dr. Alvin Schmidt at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Schmidt, thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, thank you for having me.
On the other side of this break, the elections are over, or are they? Because there have been calls for recounts. In particular, Jill Stein of the Green Party is trying to raise enough money to have at least one state's votes recounted. And there's the transition already underway, transitioning from Barack Obama to President-elect Donald Trump. And along with that, presidential appointments. We'll talk about all of that with Mark Hemingway, senior writer for the Weekly Standard, after this.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt. And the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
When you say, I am baptized, you are in fact saying, Jesus died for me.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Now that work of Christ for you is given to you in baptism.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.